The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
I'm Jeremy. Joining me is Kevin. Eric Nelson has the week off. Dusty Yevick is somewhere in Wisconsin doing what he does. So it's, I guess, getting on to be the usual crew, something like that. I don't know. How's everyone doing today? How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good. And the super boxer known as Cayenne is perfectly fine and had all of his stitches removed from his tumor surgery a couple of weeks ago, so all is well in the DeFrango household.
Hey, did they ever get the results back on it, or did they do any?
No, I was going to have to pay another $130 to get it officially known, whether it was benign or malignant, and I wasn't about to do that.
All
right. I'd already spent $130 to get it checked out one time, and when you can't tell me the results after pulling pus out of it, well, then I'm not going to give you another $130 to go, oh, well, it was probably again.
Yeah. I gotcha. Hey, real quick, this is not wrestling related, but since you were tweeting before we started, do you follow I Like Girls Daily?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right, I just wanted to make sure. One that posted about 35 minutes ago, Hot Redhead.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, I'll have to go over to my account here while we're talking.
Yeah. All right, and I'm going to warn everyone, I have been under the weather for the last week, so I'm going to try my best not to cough into the mic.
Yeah, so, and if you keep on hearing clicking on my end, it's because I'm using my laptop, and evidently my speaker is very, very close to where my pad is.
Yes. So anyways, what do you want to start with? You want to start with the usual Raw and then transition into Tomko, if we feel like it, and PWO? Or do you want to start PWO? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Let's start with PWO because, I don't know. Maybe more people stick around for the Raw part next.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, all right, so just a little – I guess I'll do an introduction, I guess. PWO is actually Pro Wrestling Ohio. They're based out of Cleveland, Ohio. Although the episode one took place in Streetsboro. Boy, that would have been nice to have when we were in school.
Yeah, no, they do tend to record in locations other than Cleveland. Because last year those the tapings that they announced Kevin Nash at were in Niles, Ohio, which is just outside of Youngstown. And they've been to that Streetsboro complex before. They've done a couple of shows in Akron. And, that would have been nice had they had this around when we were there.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that redhead is incredibly hot.
Yeah, that's ridiculous shit right there. Even if I'm sure that hair color is fake.
Oh, it's
probably some of the other stuff, too, but it doesn't matter.
No.
So basically, PWO has their big thing, Resolution. They had that, was that the beginning of August?
End of August? Yes.
I'm drawing a blank, sorry.
I think so.
Yeah.
Of course, we obviously planned this out exceptionally well.
Yeah, so whatever. I'm just trying to do the rough introduction. But if you follow the site, you know all this stuff anyway. It's just a resident person.
Because Dan's meet and greet post was from August 8th. Review in car August 8th. So, yeah, it must have been August 7th that they had it this past year.
Yeah. All right. So, anyways, they had Kevin Nash in the main event. This is important for what comes up in the show this – their first show of the new season. this is going to be incredibly hard to talk.
Would it help if I put my dick in your mouth? Would that make things easier?
No, and I don't have the screen up, so I'm not, just in case you decide to be a jackass, I'm not going to be able to see it. So, all right, so anyways, they have the first episode of the new season was 2 weeks ago? No, 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
I know, so we're covering this pretty late, but I was telling Kevin before we started, I never get a chance to talk about it because DirecTV finally got it worked out right. So I'm starting anew with season 5, episode 1, and they start off, I mean, they've had these episodes where they've run over the resolution card, they show pieces of the matches, some promos, but then they never give you enough so that you don't buy the DVD, which I thought was actually kind of smart.
Oh, did they actually not show the full matches this time around?
No.
Oh.
They showed you bits and pieces of it. Some they just showed like the backstory and then entrances. And then as soon as the action started, they just cut it.
Yeah, so, no, good on them. No, I didn't watch any of those because we had already pretty much, well, I'd done the Twitter review, combined that, and we had a preview and a post show. I was like, okay, I don't think we really need another post for resolution, so I just kind of let them slide.
Right. Jesus. Hang on a second.
Okay. Well.
All right. I'm back. Sorry. This, like I said, I'm gonna try and hit the mute button whenever I have to cough. So. But no. So they start off again. The one thing you did miss, and I know I bitched about this week in and week out. If they need to come up, and I came up with this watching the first two episodes of the new season as well, they need to come up with some sort of angle. I don't care if it's Aaron McGuire. I don't care if it's the Dead Wrestling Society. Someone needs to break Joe Dombrowski's hands so that I never have to see him holding a microphone incorrectly again. Dude, that shit is insanely annoying.
Okay, what does he do? Like, because I
wish I had a webcam right now.
You hate his hands.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? How does he? You just said that he holds it wrong. Like,
yes. Okay. You know. All right. Well, you have a remote control in your hand. All right.
Uh huh.
You've got. It's your palm up. Remote's in your hand.
Uh huh.
All right. And then you're using your thumb to do everything. If you're a guy, that's what you do. Okay.
Does a woman use her, like, forefinger or something?
Oh, no, they use their other finger, and it's just trust me on that one.
Okay, I will. Yeah. I haven't seen a woman in a long time, so trust me, I will take your word for it.
All right, so if you hold the remote at the TV, it's flat. If you pull it up, the sensor is pointing at the ceiling, okay? You're still holding it the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you've got your thumb like on one side of it and your other fingers on the opposite side, take all of your fingers off except the – and then basically hold the remote with your thumb in your index – in your index finger. And then talk into it and try and make your point while your other fingers just flail all over the place.
I never noticed that. So it's kind of like someone doing the cup of tea bit, but with more fingers flapping out there.
And moving them as you try and make your point while you're praying somebody comes and cuts them all off. It's the most frustrating thing to watch. All you want him to do is grip the microphone like a human being.
That's
a delicate flower, and it's going to snap the stem at any second.
Okay, for some reason, when you were talking about that, I always assumed that he was using his hands too much, like a stereotypical Italian when he was talking. And I'm like, huh? I don't think I ever noticed that.
Well, he does that, but it's more like he's got the three fingers of whatever on this hand, and he's. Whenever he makes his point, he turns his shoulders just slightly to make it seem like here comes the important part. And he says it, and then he uses his hand to he's asking for a handout. So he's got the fingers twiddling in the wind, and he's asking for a handout with the other hand. And I was able to excuse the handout because I wanted to cut his other hand off. I mean, I like the concept of him talking as the chaos. I think maybe he didn't describe it this way. It was like as the chaos is finally settled, they're taking down the ring, the event's over. It's actually something I wish WWE would do with like WrestleMania or one of the big pay-per-views. The crowd dispersing, talk about it, send it to backstage stuff, or packages, vignettes, whatever. Instead of just going, oh, that's it, and that's it, and then tune in Monday, you know? Maybe they'll do that on the WWE Network. I don't know.
Certainly are going to need to come up with something.
Yeah, that is something we'll bring up later, too. Dombrowski, it's not even a personal criticism. It's just ridiculously annoying. So, all right. So, anyways, let's get into season one or season five, episode one. And as I told you before that we started the show, we're going off of your review here to keep things straight. So, if it's wrong, it's your fault. So,
yeah, that's okay.
All right.
Yes. I haven't been wrong before.
Yeah, I've probably been wrong more times on this show already than right. All right, so basically Matt Cross, yes, that Matt Cross from Tough Enough comes out. He won his match at Resolution. He wants to be the PWO champion. Jason Bain comes down.
Who is the PWO champion.
Who the dichotomy between Matt Cross and Jason Bain makes Jason Bain look like Big Show. Is ridiculous.
Yeah, and Jason Bain probably, I don't know, maybe he'd be in Sheamus territory or something like that.
Well, he's
6'6 or something like that. He's a big dude. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've met him a couple of times, and he's a big boy.
All right, well, he's also one of those, this isn't not to be insulting, but he's one of those sloppy big guys.
And they've mentioned it a lot, and I don't know if they've mentioned it yet this season, but he isn't nearly as sloppy as he used to be. He's cut a lot of weight since the beginning of season one.
Yeah, well, and that's why I was trying to make sure, that's why I said this isn't an insult, because there's something to be said for the sloppy big guys. They're deceivingly big, like Dick Murdoch, Stan Hansen was one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those sort of guys. And that's what I got. That's what I always see when I see Jason Bain. I'm like, I want him to cut up a little more weight, but at the same time, he does look like he could tear your head off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, anyone with that much body hair scares me.
Well, you're the Italian, so I don't know if.
Yeah, well, I got left out of that gene pool.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, you're not Greek, but all right. all right, so they go back and forth about, you know, Matt Cross isn't there. Jason Bain said he's been there as a representative of PWO. Cross said no matter where he went, he was a representative of PWO. He kind of lost me on that. I don't know how you can leave a company and not wrestle for them and still
be
promote
representing them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless you come out with like PWO gear all the time, and come up with a hand sign that says PWO, which I'm actually trying to figure out how you do that. I might have figured it out. No, I only got a P and an O out of it.
Well, you could do it, but you gotta use two hands and your O's sideways.
Oh.
Because you kind of do a P with the... Okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. all right, so they're bitching back and forth. And then Marion Fontaine comes out, who was in the main event match at Resolution with Brody Lee and Kevin Nash. And I always forget the other guy.
Omega Aaron Draven.
That's right. Another small guy.
Yep.
Now... Fontaine, for those who haven't seen pictures, don't know who he is, he's a really skinny dude. And he doesn't portray himself, he doesn't portray himself or doesn't look like your stereotypical or prototypical wrestler. And we've talked about this before. It's kind of hard to take him serious, especially against a guy like Jason Bayne.
Yeah, definitely against a guy like Jason Bayne. When you look like a child next to somebody else, like even though his height, the height discrepancy isn't nearly as big between Fontaine and Bayne.
Yeah.
Weight-wise, I think that Cross actually weighs more than Fontaine does.
Yeah, well, would make sense too. Just muscle tone.
Yeah.
Or muscle build. But what Fontaine lacks in size and sizzle, if you want to put it that way, his mic skills are great. He came out and basically just laid down the law with, you know. To me, though, the whole thing with how he became the number one contender, you liked it. I thought it went on just a little too long.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't know. I guess I just don't mention everything that I think sometimes, okay. Maybe. It did seem like that whole segment in and of itself lasted a little too long.
Yeah, because to me, he seemed to repeat some of the points over and over. Like,
right.
I'm not saying that he realized it was going long or that he was maybe going a little dry, but it almost felt like he was rehashing what he had just said. Kind of like WWE where, you know, you right before you go to commercial break, they replay what you just saw, you know? But in promo.
When they come back from commercial break.
Yeah. So basically what it ends up is Jason Bayne just stands there, Fontaine and Matt Cross go at each other. Fontaine puts up his number one contendership.
Against Matt Cross.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be for that night. They end up making it, later in the show, they end up saying that it'll be in, 2 weeks.
Which is actually just next week.
That's
where I thought you got, all right, I hate doing this, but I think this is where you got it wrong. I could have swore they said it was next week. Because it was next week, it was the following episode.
But
I could have swore old Horrible Hands said that it was going to be next week. So
okay.
it doesn't really matter, but.
Right.
all right. I agree with you in your review where you said Cross still seems a little tentative.
Yeah, well, when I talked to him and when even last year, right when he came back out of Tough Enough there, he seemed to have eliminated that. I was just going to call it temptation, but that hesitation was probably mm-hmm. the better word to use there. And it seemed to be back this time around.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The only thing I was wondering is if maybe part of that was due to how long the stretch was going. I'm sure they don't they're not memorizing all this stuff. You know, it's bullet points. I hope so. And this is the kind of place where you go to get bullet points and not get scripted. So.
Right.
All right, but then later on they had Hobo Joe, who to me is a cross between Necro Butcher and Mick Foley.
that's pretty accurate, so long as everyone knows who Necro Butcher is.
Yeah. And then Gregory Iron is the what is cerebral palsy?
Yeah, cerebral palsy.
Nice. There was a line, and I don't know if you have it in here. Aaron McGuire, who plays the heel announcer, Kevin's had him interviews on the show, on the site before. He's actually pretty clever as the evil color guy. The neck brace with the clip-on tie. I just wish there was something he said about Gregory Iron. And I don't know if it was this episode or a different one.
The one comment that I couldn't get over about Iron was after Hobo Joe was taken to the hospital, McGuire asked, who would open up Gregory Iron's chips?
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God.
What a dick. I mean.
Yeah, that's
oh, don't make me laugh.
You know, and I explained that, you know, he doesn't have use of his right hand, and that's why he was an inspiration to CM Punk. That was like brutal yet funny comment from McGuire.
But I'm just trying to figure out.
I can't believe that they let that one slide, I guess, for some reason. It's just like, oh my gosh.
I mean, but it was kind of off the cuff. I mean, it was one of those off the cuff and just quick. So it was like, all right, fucking, we're not going to go into post-production post-production and take it out.
But, right.
But it's just such a nonsensical thing to open as well, which is what cracked me. And maybe there's absolutely no thought put into it. It was just, he said chips for the hell of it. But
yeah.
It could have been who's going to open his medicine, who's going to open up his locker or undo his lock, I mean, just all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But the first thing I thought of were potato chips and just how useless an item that would be to need help opening. I don't know. And like I said, I probably built it up way more in my head than it was anticipated. But just the other thing that he made a cerebral palsy joke on a show that doesn't cater to kids. I mean, they're pretty violent.
Yeah.
But they clearly show kids in the audience watching.
So they certainly do. And I mean, they're definitely I wouldn't say they're any more or less kids at their events than, you know, at a WWE event now.
Yeah. But so still, just what a dick move, man. And maybe the kids aren't smart enough to figure out what he's talking about, but okay. Yeah, so the match was Hobo Joe versus Cursed, right? He's the guy with the black shawl or black mask on his face.
Yeah, he always wears the black hood or whatever you want to call it. He just wears a black bag over his head and then unties it when the match starts.
Yeah. Now, Cursed, just for the uninitiated, he's part of the Dead Wrestler Society with Gory, who's the TV champion?
Correct.
Yeah, and oh my God.
Crimson.
Thank you. The main dude.
Yeah.
We talked about Crimson on the shows before. He was the guy that they basically stole his name and gave it to a guy in TNA. Had his name stolen and given to a wrestler in TNA, then had his gimmick stolen and given it to Sting in Impact Wrestling or TNA, whatever. I don't like Gory. Just there's something about him in that Dead Wrestler Society that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if it was I don't think it was planned that way last year because Cursed was the main disciple because he had started that not in season four, but at the end of season three. Actually, it was at Resolution 3 there. Crimson came out and took who was then what was his name then? Is Corey Winters and Eric Ryan? Was his name? He took Eric Ryan to the back, and everyone's like, you know, that's one of those big speculation things coming into the season. What happened to him? And then all of a sudden, he was off TV. You know, I don't know what happened, but evidently his services were either temporarily terminated or he had stuff going on elsewhere, possibly was injured. I have no idea, but to me it seemed like they threw Gory in there once whatever happened to Cursed happened.
Okay. Yeah, so that kind of sustains my point then. Because the Cursed character is pretty cool. He seems to be a decent wrestler too, which was the other nice thing. Because when you get into these gimmick wrestlers, it's really hit or miss if the guys can go or not.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess this is one negative criticism. Because I didn't like what I saw of the Jason Bayne Crimson match. Logically, it made sense, but having Cursed and Gory come out and constantly helping Crimson in the match just got old to me.
Right. Yeah, and, no, I can see that.
Yeah.
I guess because I expected it, it didn't do anything for me one way or the other. It's like, well, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, but it was such a sustained part of the match. I was like, ah. Because, and this is a compliment, Crimson's a bag of shit. I mean, that guy, his promos, he's gotten away from looking like Heath Ledger, which is good. He's mixed it up with a little bit of the Misfits logo.
Uh-huh.
But I like how he's got it cocked to one side on his face.
Oh.
Because if you know, because the mouth goes up, goes off to the side of his cheek now while the other side doesn't. So it makes his face look a little distorted.
Right.
And he's changed up the voice and the speech pattern enough just to make it his own.
Yeah. I mean, he's him and Fontaine are probably the two best mic guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the wrestlers go.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to clarify why calling him a bag of shit is a compliment, because that's what he's going for. I mean,
right.
There's no chance you can he's also one of the guys that he's a heel you can't cheer for. And I think that's a testament to him. Because everyone thought the Joker was the coolest thing in the Batman movie. I mean, people still go as Heath Ledger's Joker for Halloween, and you know, fucking Sting aped him and does whatever he does with it now. But so there's a total chance he could have made that cool. He hasn't. I mean, just in the promos I've seen, that's not a guy I want to cheer for. I mean, not at all.
Yeah, and that's saying something when you don't want to cheer for a heel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, since I'm the standard, you know. But no, so it's a compliment. And they came out, and I know this is kind of a review of the characters, but like I said, I never get a chance to talk about them. So, they came out, beat the hell out of Hobo Joe, because he wanted to do it on his own. And Cursed beat him. Then they just beat the hell out of him, and then Gregory Iron came down, did the classic "Watch while we beat your friend up."
Oh yeah, and that's another good one. It's just like, well, how can you find that positive in any way?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, so there's what, three on? Oh, that was another good Aaron Maguire thing. It's 3-on-1, and then they've got Irons locked up. And then the locker room comes out, and Aaron McGuire goes, "No, wait a minute, how was that fair? It's 12-on-3. So there's that. I'm doing a good job, since I just keep going off the handle with it. But they're starting new. This is essentially what Monday Night Raw used to be after WrestleMania.
Oh. Yeah, and I think that's why I noted, like, it's a true season premiere. Like, you know, both Raw and SmackDown say at some point, oh, yeah, this is our season premiere. It's just like, no, you're still continuing the same storylines. Nothing mm-hmm. got reset. You're not reshuffling things. You know, it's just like the results were the results. And because they end up, you know, like having a pay-per-view so soon thereafter –
yeah.
They've got to pretty much redo all the matches from WrestleMania for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay, more of the same. It's not like there isn't any change in there. And with these guys, even with that opening segment, Matt Cross was in a match with Johnny Gargano and Josh Prohibition. And then, and Crimson and Jason Bayne had fought. So, yeah, they were moving Crimson on from Bayne. And they were moving Matt Cross onto the PWO title. Well, at least assuming he doesn't lose to Fontaine, which I have not watched yet.
Yeah, but see, and then going to what you said also is just because Crimson's moved on, he even makes mention, I haven't forgotten about Jason Bayne.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like they totally just go, oh, I don't remember fighting Jason Bayne at all, and like the past doesn't exist. It's just a progression instead of, you know, weighing them down. Because, you know, they had their match. It didn't work out. Well, I haven't forgotten about you, but I'm going to fuck this guy up instead. So and it's good. And it, Matt Cross, Gargano wasn't on, and Josh Prohibition wasn't on the first episode.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, they do a pretty good job of trying to make sure that everyone's fresh at the tapings, because, and that's kind of one reason I've never gone up to them, is that so that they don't, you know, trot everyone out like five times. They don't always record in order of the shows that are coming out. So I would have all of the information, but there is, well, there's no Titantron, so I'm not going to see the backstage segments. And, you know, I may be reporting on something that happens a month in advance and is out of order, rather than, like, thinking that the first couple of matches are, you know, the first week of recordings.
Okay. Well, that would actually make sense, though. But yeah, I'm trying to think what are the highlights? They had a good six man match, with Sex Appeal, which I really like that name. It's not a dirty name, but it's also, it kind of shows the group as what the, not what they are. What am I looking for? All right. They hail straight out of the gym, which cracked me up because that's a total 80s thing, which is awesome. And then the Sex Appeal name kind of reminds me of the 80s, too, and that's a good thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, well, I mean, it's nice that they're not trying to get too cutesy with it. Like, they're not trying to come up with, you know, something that's too out there just to be creative.
Yeah, like the Ninja Elite Squad. I don't like that name at all.
I like the first two parts. I don't really like the squad part, because that makes you sound like cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, really.
Because, I mean, I kind of get the whole ninja thing with that, because I kind of like their style. Like, I still think that they need to refine what they're doing, but they're trying to come up with something that's a little bit different. It's really kind of Bruce Lee-ish, but brought into a wrestling ring. And I kind of dig it. Like I said, like, their execution sometimes, because they're, like a lot of high flyers, they're trying to do so much that, it's, you know, they kind of overlook fundamentals sometimes rather than just trying to look flashy.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of tone it down sometimes, because that's it. I mean, Evan Bourne does a good job of being flashy, but also kind of being pretty basic. Like, that move, that just that jumping high knee that he does, like, it's just a knee. But he keeps himself moving, and it looks pretty basic. And you can still kind of call him a high flyer, but, you know, it doesn't take that much. You know, he's not going to screw that up, I guess. Which, to me, I think is a positive.
Yeah.
Like, when you're doing too many flips, it's just like, okay, like, you're just giving yourself more of a chance to go awry with what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. I don't know, I guess we're kind of blowing this match off just because we got to get to the Raw talk, which is too bad. I liked it. I thought the pacing was weird. I agreed with you. The commercial breaks where they inserted them were kind of weird.
But the one thing that I still do like about them is that, unlike TNA, who, like, oh, this is our mid-main event, and it ends up lasting, like, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, this was for a number one, this was, it was a six-man tag match, but it was for the number one contender spot for the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their titles are important, which is shocking in this day and age of wrestling.
Yeah.
So they all, any match that, you know, has title implications or something like that, they usually give it a good amount of time. And even if the breaks were funky, they gave it like 20 minutes or something like that. Now, I don't know how much occurred during the commercial breaks. For the most part, it seems to me, with the way they do things, that they don't really have anything go on during the commercial breaks, like would be on Raw or even on SmackDown, honestly, even though it's taped. You know, they kind of go through those break areas. But still, if you take out a couple of commercial breaks, you still got a good 12-minute match or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Like, I mean, I like that they, you know, want to stress any of the title belts. And, well, and that's the other funny thing is that, you know, they obviously aren't that big of a company. And they only have, like, three or four tag teams. And they do a good job of hyping all the tag teams. Like, you kind of know the pecking order of those four tag teams. And the WWE can't seem to figure anything like that out.
I'm sorry, everyone. Kevin was making some good points. And I was trying to... we're recording this Tuesday before the Tigers game starts. And I turn the game on while he's talking, which is a mistake. This is why we tried to record early. But I figured the game wasn't on. Everything would be fine. Well, I turn on, and there's some monster singing the national anthem. And then it occurred to me that monster was Aretha Franklin. I totally, totally had the hardest time concentrating. Oh, fuck. Let's just go to Raw. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to the guys at PWO because Kevin made some good points and I just shit the bed.
Well, I don't think you should be sorry. I think we just spent a good half hour on them or something. So,
Chewbacca. A fat Chewbacca was singing the national anthem. You know what?
Wow, she got that hairy in the meantime.
God bless. Oh, dude, her weave was amazing. God bless America, man. I mean, you can have Chewbacca sing your national anthem. We are the greatest country on earth, just hands down. Oh, God damn. All right. All right, so let's go to Monday Night Raw for a little bit. All my happiness is going to be drained now having to talk about Raw, because is it time to admit that all of our saying wait it out, that they know what they're doing? Is it finally time to just say, yeah, we were totally wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you know, exactly. I can't think that someone thought that, you know, it's another one of those ones just like, how could you have thought that this was a good idea? You know, just dragging this out, bringing on one of just the worst on it. Well, two of the worst on-air characters. I keep on coming up with different names for Laurinaitis. I just keep calling him Johnny Wooden something or another, and I just keep on making something different up. Cause he's just awful. Like it's just like, no, like it isn't even funny.
No.
You know,
there's
just
nothing
like,
funny about it.
Like, even with Linda McMahon, you could make fun of her. Like, him? It's just awfulness. And it's so, and it was so transparent, too. It's just like, okay, the Board of Governors knows that things are out of control enough that they need to get Triple H out of power. But they don't realize that the guy that is undermining everything is the guy that they're giving power to?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's start there. Just the whole opening segment, whatever. I mean, Triple H buried all those guys, essentially tried turning them all heel in the fans' eyes, but luckily the fans are a bunch of fucking rubes and didn't even remember that, you know what, they walked out on you. I thought that was a very dangerous thing to do. Not dangerous, but kind of irresponsible thing to do.
Well, I thought it was pretty irresponsible that, like, all of the heels and the and the faces all came trotting back in to shake old Johnny Wooden voice.
Yeah.
His hand. It's just like, okay, like, are all of you that dumb that you know that he's not behind it, too? Like, as much as Morrison sucks now and he deserves what he's getting, like, honestly, like, he's the only one smart enough to go, I know you're behind this.
See, okay, I'm still saying we're wrong, but maybe there is a bigger storyline going on that's going to get resolved. That, you know, because I'm trying to, that's what I wanted to look up, but I still have that redhead up on my Twitter account, so I'm losing my concentration again. Let me just click on, oh, I closed the window. Oh, that sucks. I'll find you again, baby. I'll find you again. Well, good. We got some more news on our next story if we get to it. Okay, so anyways. I don't remember what I was saying now. I lost my red haired girl. Oh, that's what I want. I want to see when Raw is in San Antonio. Because Shawn Michaels made noise about talking about possible ways of returning to Raw or returning to WWE.
Yeah.
And it just seems convenient that, you know, all this is happening.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like, is Shawn Michaels the answer? You know?
Yeah, well, he's not in the family. So, I mean, that was the only thing that I was just like, okay. But, you know, they've really got a pretty limited list to me of names that are big enough to bring in to be the GM that's going to make this pay off. One, they've used way too often recently, and that's Bret Hart. And yeah. I don't want to see him really on Raw on a regular basis. Mick Foley. Who else was I thinking other than, cause I was just going to leave Shawn Michaels for last. Shit. Who was that? Who's out? No, I'm trying to think of who else is out. Like, I mean, like, the Undertaker isn't going to be it. Like, as much as Undertaker's been out, like, he's going to return as a wrestler whenever he returns.
That'd be hilarious, though. I'd be all for that. Could you imagine, like, the opening segments are usually 20 minutes. Can you imagine how long they would be with him? Just the general manager's music entrance? I mean, that whole thing?
Yeah. I like just having Teddy Long on SmackDown. I don't think that they're going to... Like, and I don't think he's a big enough of a name. I don't even think Vicky Guerrero's a big enough name.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's the thing. All right. They removed Vince McMahon as what, the chief operating officer, right?
Correct.
All right. Triple H came out, took his place. He started running all of WWE. Well, all of a sudden, the focus changed last night, and he was removed from running Raw. Well, wait a minute. What does Vince McMahon have to do with anything? It didn't make any sense to me. What did Vince McMahon have to do with anything? They removed him from power. That was it.
Yeah.
So then they're going to remove Triple H from power of running Raw, but he actually runs everything. So the Board of Governors removed him from running Raw, but he's still the chief operating officer, so... Why does any of this apply?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was old Johnny Wooden Delivery's mistake.
Yeah, because he kept saying, now that I'm the GM of Raw, I'm like, what are you talking about? you're now the COO, right? But then even McMahon said, no, they got someone else who's going to be in charge of running Raw. And I just got so confused. What was Triple H being removed from then? It didn't make any sense.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't even pick that up in my haste to get through the show last night.
Yeah. And I know it's going to be one of those, well, it's too critical, but, you know, and Darth Vader was the Dark Lord of the Sith, and, you know, there's always two, so, you know, if one had to go, well, so the other one. You can't just go, well, he's a Scythe, not a Sith, you know? He's a general Sith, not... a total Sith yet. And no, storylines are established. You establish rules in a story. You can't break them just because it doesn't fit anymore, unless you're WWE, I guess. But anyways, the show was just boring, and we were just wrong, and I think that's really annoying. Because it honestly felt like there was something going on there.
Yeah, and I mean, and on top of that, it just, like, even though they're still giving Punk the time, they still kind of killed what they had going with him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously, like, him, to say the least, it's obvious that they're really counting on him, Sheamus, and John Cena at this point. Like, those three guys wouldn't have gotten their own mic time if, you know, their own segment at the beginning of Raw the next week if they weren't counting on them. And I was mildly surprised that Randy Orton didn't come out, because didn't some online report mention that he wasn't there either? Like,
yeah.
He even commented on it. Like, I seem to remember, whether it was on Twitter or something else. Like, I thought that they said something. And it was just confusing, too. Well, they end up clearing that up for SmackDown. But that was hysterical when things were just as chaotic on SmackDown. It's just like, Like, I mean, all this stuff can still happen. They didn't call out the irony. Like, the babyface announcers are just doing such a horrendous job. Like, honestly, in a way, Michael Cole is running circles around them, even though he's awful.
Yeah.
It's just like, guys, you need to call out the heels for attacking people exactly like they were trying to prevent. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, like, that should be a main story right now.
Yeah. The announcing in general, though, and now that they've gotten rid of Jim Ross, who, honestly, he didn't make a difference anyways. He wasn't calling the matches. He was barely providing color. So he was just out there to appease people, not even, you know, do anything. So the firing of Jim Ross, I mean, you know, obviously you knew that was coming because it was Oklahoma. But it just seems like it's given Michael Cole just a reason to be annoying again. And it's like a retread of the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like it just did nothing for me whatsoever. It's just like, seriously? Because Lawler hasn't taken him seriously. And I've mentioned this before, like, it's really weird because Cole plays almost a completely different character when he's on SmackDown. And even though Booker can be really goofy, I think there are spots where I really like his goofiness. Or his, like, unpreparedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's more creative than anyone else. Like, does his creativity lead him to fail on a fairly regular basis? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does. I don't think there's any getting around that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like him better than anyone else because it's something different. You know, it really is something different. He does kind of suck, and he is definitely not a... he needs to pay attention to his own self more. And he, if he got himself organized better, he'd be even better.
The whole broadcast right now is back to where it was before Punk came out. When was that? July? June, July? It just seems like everything has gone back to the way it was. I don't even care that Triple H is being spotlighted. It's all the same mistakes. It's the same boring stories. The same lack of logic in what they're doing. I mean, the announcing, like you just talked about, it's the same shit. And even if John Cena's not the champion, still featured, whatever. The only positive is that they're doing right now is the Super Show thing, because it's given Cody Rhodes a chance to shine, or to step up, I should say.
Right.
It's kind of giving you a faction now it almost seemed like a faction to me with Christian, Swagger, Ziggler, and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, well, if they can keep them together and not go all Vince Russo on them in, you know, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's why I like the fact that the Swagger-Ziggler thing just went away. They shook hands at one time, and everything seems cool now.
Yeah, they could have used a little more explanation with that. Mm-hmm. More, well, at least a little more than just the handshake, but whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, they did at least acknowledge it.
Right. But again, and it wasn't as if he was a more utilized, or I'm sorry, not more utilized, but because he was. But he wasn't an essential character. But Zack Ryder hasn't been seen since all this started happening.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's like they were just there. It was like it seemed like everything was actually going to turn around.
Yeah, no, we you started off the question. It's just like, oh, come on, like seriously.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's just like everything's kind of gone back to normal.
Yeah,
it's all disjointed. Like I honestly I've lost that faith that there's something bigger going on. I mean, obviously there is going to be something bigger. They're going to have a GM. But, you know, what does that mean? Why can't these guys that aren't getting their way just keep on misbehaving? Because, right. And they love, I mean, unless they go like a heel authority figure.
Well, which would they have?
What are they going to do? Bring in Eric Bischoff? I don't think I'd be any more entertained by that than just having a guy, again, just kind of going back to the, just have someone come in, do the job, and get out, basically.
Which is what they kind of had for a while. I mean, as bad as that Raw GM thing was with the chimes, it started to settle down to where it was just matches, and that was it. Or even SmackDown, look at that. And Teddy Long isn't a featured character all that much.
Uh-uh.
His featured stuff is with that Oksana chick backstage, and that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, and he does a good job. You know, it's just like have something like that. Let your wrestlers be featured. Like, why is it so hard to feature your wrestlers?
Yeah, just the wrestlers. Yeah, and I guess Triple H now is just gonna be a wrestler again, which doesn't make any sense because there's nobody really big enough for him to take on. I mean, Alberto Del Rio versus Triple H, does that really light your eyes up?
Yeah, and now that CM Punk is a full-blown face, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really want to see them go at it. You know,
They already blew through that one.
And Kevin Nash, like, is he really gone?
I'm guessing. See, that was one of two things.
Would they be dumb enough to make him the GM? It's just like, and that would go back to the whole. Was the Board of Governors not watching this?
Yeah. I guess part of me wants to think that McMahon came out and actually didn't have any authority to do that. And it was him and Laurinaitis working together the entire time. So Vince is actually pulling the strings again, but through him.
Oh, through the Laurinaitis. Those style deals,
you know?
Yeah.
I guess.
But
that's wishful thinking.
Yeah. Like, so he's going to be pulling the strings of the new GM, and it's just like, well, what good does that do him?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
You know, it doesn't get him back into power.
Yeah.
If they're not going to name anyone in the family to the power position.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes Raw a hard show to watch only because, I mean, I guess one reason to keep watching is because you know The Rock is coming up.
No.
For Survivor Series. But
right.
I didn't realize that there's a pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Do you know how silly that is?
Jeez. And they've got no storylines going whatsoever.
No, they're
well, already started the title match there, Del Rio and Cena.
Yeah. Well, who the hell wants to pay to see that again?
Not me.
I mean, I've always liked the idea of stretching feuds out. So, you know, if something happens, you have another one. If something happens, you have another one. Well, you don't give another match, you know, a blow-off like that. And, like, Elise was asking, why is Mark Henry and Randy Orton fighting again? I was like, because this one's on free TV. Because this is the last time they're going to face each other for a while. She was like, why do they do that? I was like, because no one pays to see the same match three times. In a row. She's like, oh, all right. And I was like, I don't think so, at least.
Right.
And that's almost what they're doing with Cena. I mean, you already had the two of them against each other. And then you had the Hell in the Cell, and they fought again. They fought before. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, somehow they've gone from having fresh stuff to go with to it making it feel stale again.
Yeah.
Like, and even with CM Punk up there, even with Del Rio kind of up there, well, of course he's up there, but Vince is standing firmly on our mouths, pushing down with the heel of his other leg.
Yeah. But even, you know, one of the matches of Vengeance is going to be Triple H and CM Punk versus Miz and Orton. Truth, excuse me.
Oh.
You know who's winning that. No, they have, and that goes back to the Triple H thing. They've done nothing to build anybody up to make it seem like they can hang with Triple H.
Well, and even with that, it was just like, well, not only was it predictable that Miz and Miz and Truth were coming back, like they'd kind of been, even though they'd been mentioning them, they'd kind of been out of my memory.
Yeah,
like, they hadn't done enough memorable to me. Like, I would have waited for CM Punk to come back. Like, if they had decided to draw that out for a month or two.
Which, at this time, they should have, for sure.
Yeah. Like, especially with all this garbage going on.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this would have been the perfect time for Punk to show up and be like, I don't know what all this noise is with John Cena or... You know, Del Rio, whoever, holding the belt after Vengeance.
Right.
With Punk coming back on, I don't know what all this noise is about. No one, you know, the situation that should have happened. But, yeah. I don't know. I guess part of the Miz Truth thing, though, is I guess it's kind of nice they got some time off. I mean, I know they showed up at some events, but they got, 3 weeks off?
Yeah. Hey, it'd be nice.
Yes, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, we have heard the complaints, the ideas that they should have, like, some time off or off-season, whatever. They just got a nice, like, month vacation. Even though they were still out there touring, they weren't getting beaten down in the ring. So that's 3 weeks of not having anything physical happen. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, good for them, I suppose. But.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for them, though. Like, I mean, aside from get them rest, it didn't really do anything for them.
Well, it's because everyone knew they were coming back. No one, I don't think that even the non-internet fan, no one was sitting there going, oh my God, they're gone. Finally, they're gone. Everyone knew they were coming back. So.
Yeah, and I guess that's the problem with that angle. It's just like there have been so many firings and coming back within the next month. It's like, okay.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
You know what? They're coming back. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough about Raw and WWE. Although, the one good thing still going is Mark Henry. And the guy's killing it on the mic. And the in-ring work's been good, so.
Yep.
Let's end on a positive. So, let's get out of here, because I'm starting to get hoarse. I'm going to start coughing even more. So I actually do need, for real, a break for a second.
Okie dokie.
All right. So, empower the mute button. All right, so, if you want to contact us at stuntgranny@gmail.com, We're on Twitter at StuntGranny. I'm at Granny Maze. Kevin's at DeFrango11. Dusty Giebink is Dusty Giebink, all one word. Eric Nelson, what was Eric's? I don't remember.
Oh, Shuckin' Corn, at Shuckin' Corn.
Oh, okay. Drop us an email, comment in the comment sections of the post, and there's something else I forget, so I don't care. I'm losing steam. So I'm going to get out of here. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Okie doke, grandkids. It is time to go watch the Penguins and do some nice cooking and enjoy a sippy time beer. Out.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?